Okay, good morning for the very last time. It's the lecture number 6 in the course, and we are actually having two different topics today. I will first talk about communication research and measurement, and Kaisa will arrive a little later, and she will talk something about issues management and crisis communication, and it's also very interesting topic and at the very center in our field. At the very end of the lecture, we will also have the corporate communication student organization Imago here. They will tell you something about their organization in Finnish. So those of you who are interested in the in, for example, joining Imago, you can stay after our course topics and this lecture topics has been ended. So basically, the Imago will tell you something about their functions for the last 5 to 10 minutes of this lecture, and we will change the language to Finnish when they arrive. So those of you who don't speak Finnish can leave a bit earlier if you want. But I will now begin with the communication research and measurement and what it is all about in organizations especially. So I'm not going to talk about communication research in general, for example, what we are doing in university, even though there are some similarities, for example, what kind of methods and measures we can use here. But basically, this is more from the organization perspective and what kind of data, for example, different corporations can get out when they do research and for example, when they monitor social media. The idea of research and measurement in organizations is that it supports the strategic role of the corporate communication. And it is basically a bedrock for the formulation of communication objectives, and it also helps the organization to design specific communication programs and campaigns. So in practice, it means that by, you know, gathering feedback and measuring, monitoring different things that are going on around organization, really helps to somehow establish the effects of corporate communication, especially in the organization's reputation when they look at it from the eyes of the stakeholders. Of course, what kind of a data they got out of research and measurement can be used in evaluation of how the overall aspects of such things as corporate reputation are going on, and if there are any changes that are necessary after the results are evaluated that have been got out from the research and measurement. And this is straight from your course book. This shows actually how the research and evaluation are part of the communication campaigns, and there are actually 5 steps within this model that actually explains pretty well the overall process. But as you can see, it's kind of constant process where even though you might begin from the step 1 and end up in the step 5, but as it's ongoing process, you will really need to use the results in the later stages. And I would say that research, measurement, evaluation of those results, it's really an ongoing process in the organization. So basically, it never ends. If we are talking about an organization that handles the communication, the corporate communication properly. So the step one is basically to identify different issues, create some benchmarks for the measurement. The organization, they can analyze the existing data that is, for example, related to communication. This is also a part when the communication practitioners basically are building their communication program or campaign. And it could be so that this process is, for example, going on during some sort of communications campaign that is going on. And they can follow all the steps throughout the campaign and do different things after it. When they go to step two, if we look at it from the campaign perspective, for example, in this stage, there are some objectives that are put on place. And it is important also that even though the communication practitioners, they might have some objectives on their own within the organizations, it is important to follow the general business objectives of the organization. And when we look at different so-called measurable terms, they could, for example, be, if we look at it from the communications perspective, related to changes in awareness, attitude, behavior of stakeholders. There are different things that can be under the radar when doing these, when setting objectives and when planning out research or measurement in general. And when we move forward to step three, this is usually the stage where the actual planning is in more later stages, and the measurement or research is really executed. And there usually is some sort of pre-testing going on. So before there are some, for example, big issues or messages that want to be sent out, they are pre-tested with some audiences. Of course, sometimes there is no time for doing a pre-test, but if there is any bigger communications campaign, for example, going or plan to be to go on at some stage, it is important to do some sort of pre-testing, especially when there is a lot of, for example, money involved in the campaign. And even though if there is not so much money involved, it is important to have some sort of pre-testing before the messages are going out. And usually at this stage, when they do the pre-testing, they also made the final decision of the media and channels, different channels, and what kind of a tactic within certain channel is used when executing the campaign. And when the campaign has been executed after step three, it is usually that in step four, some sort of measurement and evaluation are done. And usually the communication practitioners, they evaluate if they are getting the desired results or if there is any need to somehow adjust the ongoing campaign. So in step four, it might be so that the campaign have not even ended, and it is possible that there might be some changes needed if the reception, for example, for the campaign is somehow bad in the eyes of the stakeholders. And usually this stage involves some sort of monitoring, for example, in social media. I will tell you more about social media monitoring at the later part of these slides. But it is important to follow what is going on throughout the campaign, and in some cases it is also possible that if the campaign fails badly, they might even end the campaign earlier than planned. And step five is obviously an assessment of the overall post-campaign, post-program results. And if there is any issues identified during the process or during the campaign or after it, the organization can use it as an advantage. And of course, they can always learn when they have went through some sort of campaign if there are anything that can be done differently when jumping on the next campaign and beginning from the step one, from the audit stage. And this is also the thing why this is sort of a cycle that the organization, they are constantly learning, they are constantly evolving, and they are actually using the information that they got out from the campaigns throughout the process and when they are planning the next ones. So then, how to actually do a communications research? What kind of methods to use? There are naturally different methods that can be used within an organization. I have come up with four different methods here. Number one, there is interviews. This is a bit different thing than having an interview from the media relations perspective, as we were talking about. Usually this method actually involves open interviews with individuals from a targeted audience. For example, for a program or campaign, as I showed you in the previous slides. And basically, the audience are asked to reflect their perception of the organization and what kind of views they have for a recent campaign, for example. And then we can move forward to focus groups. This is also more interview-like, but instead of one person at a time, the organizations can use a group of people, bring together an entire group of people from the target audience. They are actually asked to share their views on an organization, and if we again look at it from the campaign perspective, the organization might ask from the group their views on the recent campaign and get feedback from that. Then there is also a possibility to use surveys. This is a more, I would say, structured and more quantitative instead of qualitative way of doing things. And surveys are actually pretty easy to execute, because the organization, they don't have to, be with the interviewers at the same time in the same place. They can, for example, ask them to fill out an online survey. And again, the survey can be related to the campaign, and people can fill in their views. Organization can set up pre-specified questions for the people or for the respondents, and they can also write down and describe with their own words the campaign, for example, how did they feel about the campaign and stuff like that. There is also a so-called panel study. They are more like a longitudinal study, so it could be so that the respondents are asked to answer for a survey or take part in an interview before some campaign. Then there might be so that the respondents are asked some the organization are going to ask some questions in the middle of the campaign, and there is also a possibility that the organization asks something about the campaign after it has ended. So basically this is more like longitudinal, and the people are, or the respondents are involved throughout the whole process. So how do they know why the measure in the first place, the corporate reputation? And when we were looking at this ongoing cycle of methods and measures related to the research within organizations, this kind of research is not limited to particular campaign. Instead, the corporate reputation is an ongoing activity, and it is very important for the organizations to continuously, using some sort of a continuation when measuring the corporate reputation. So it could be not so much campaign related, for example. So you really have to be aware of your reputation all the time. And that's why it is actually important to follow your stakeholders, what kind of an mindset and what kind of a feedback you get from your stakeholders. And nowadays it is actually, if not easy, it is more measurable throughout the social media, for example. And I can actually give you now some practical examples of different monitoring tools that can be used for measuring the corporate reputation within organizations. But this is very valuable information what the organizations get, and it is also very valuable that the organization, they really look at on their reputation, because it tells a lot how the stakeholders, how the customers feel about their functions. There are actually some tools, and you can also take a look by yourself on these. I will now give you some few examples related, especially, well, some are more related to Twitter, but also to other social media platforms. So this is from Hootsuite. It is a social media management platform that actually helps brands to keep on top of their social media activity across networks. So it is actually one of the most popular social media management tools, and at some point it have had over 15 million users. And this Hootsuite dashboard can actually bring together information from 35 social media channels in real time. So, for example, the organizations can monitor when somebody mentions a certain phrase or a specific network. For example, they could collect all tweets by placing, for example, Donald Trump within quotation marks. So they can create different streams on different topics on this tool. And actually the users who are using the Hootsuite can actually limit the search results to a specific geographical area. So they, for example, if there is some Finnish company and they don't wanna see what is the more international viewpoint, if they wanna focus on issues that are discussed within Finland, they can choose to do so. And actually, the users can customize the search phrase pretty easily in this platform. Another example, more focused on Twitter, giving some analytical data. This is TweetDeck. It's a dashboard application for management of Twitter accounts. So like other Twitter applications, It interfaces with the Twitter application programming interface to allow users to send and receive tweets and view profiles. And TweetDeck actually, it consists of serious customizable columns which can be set up to display the user's Twitter timeline, mentions, direct messages, lists, trends, favorites, search results, hashtags, or all tweets by or to a single user. And all of these columns can actually be filtered to include or exclude words or tweets from different users. And it can be so that the organization can, for example, send some tweet immediately, or if they want to schedule some other message, they can send them for later delivery in a time they want. And what is also important, especially, well, from an individual, but also from the organization's perspective, is that the users can monitor and tweet from multiple accounts simultaneously. And especially important for organization is the part that they can monitor the discussion that is going on from multiple accounts at the same time. Then there was a third example, Twitonomy. This is also Twitter analytics and monitoring tool. It is pretty similar to TweetDeck with some differences, of course, but in this you can see things like tweets per day, how many links you have shared, how often others have, for example, mentioned you in their tweets, who do you tweet with most, and who replies you the most, what hashtags you have used the most, most retweeted tweets, and so on. And Twitonomy also shows things like who retweets you most often. So basically, who are the most influential people who have retweeted you based on how many followers they have. So for example, if some organization sends a message and or a tweet, and there is some real influential person retweeting it, it will tell you statistics about that. And there is also actually, in Twitonomy, there is a feature that actually visualizes all the tweets that mention you, and the visualization is going on a world map. So basically, if you have some tweet that is getting some sort of coverage around the world, it can visualize it for you on the world map. And again, from the organizational perspective, the Twitonomy also offers some tools about and analytics about your followers and the accounts that you follow. It gives you different kind of data, and as you can see, there is some analytics and graphs that are going on. So the organizations can really use this data to their advantage. But this is these three tools, and there are also some other possible tools that can be found within this light that are very useful for organizations nowadays, especially when we talk about reputation, but also doing a research, measuring things, monitoring things that are very important, especially from the corporate communication perspective. So you can also take a look on this one. There are Topsy, Twitterland, and so on. And I think it's also important that when you look at monitoring from an individual perspective and from an organization's perspective, that there are many other ways also than using some specific tools. You know, just using search engines and different platforms in a wise way, you can really get data and analytics that are important for the organization. Okay, I think that my part at this point, I don't know if there, do you have any questions related to the tools, measuring measuring communication or research-related questions. If not, we can actually have a little break now, and Kaisa will tell you more about issues management and crisis communication. Well, that is also somehow related to this, but we keep it as an individual topic. So let's have a like 5-minute break, and Kaisa can then continue.
Okay, are we ready? How are you? Nice few minutes stretch. You can stand up as well and stretch if you feel like you have been sitting already for an hour. So really good to be here. Last lecture, and like Matias mentioned, so I think this relates nicely to the topic that Matias was talking. So issues management and crisis communication, the last part. We will start with issues management, which is quite nicely related to the crisis communication. And I think crisis communication is often, that's the situation when people in the organization understand the value of communications. And it's not always that good that it has to be like that, but often with the crisis communication simulations, for example, or crisis communications training, many people understand that this is how the dynamics in the current media landscape work. And we will start with issues management and then crisis communications, and then I will try to end up before half an hour, and then Imako will come here to discuss with you. But you can just raise your hand and ask questions anytime if you have questions. So let's keep this discussion up. So maybe to start with issues, what are issues and how they evolve, how they affect organizations, and how organizations respond to issues through communications and different communication strategies. So that's the overview of the first part. So defining an issue, here we have two different definitions, but issue can be seen as a controversial topic that raises public attention. And in a way or another, it's related to the organization, how it operates, where it operates, and the field of industry. And then there is the other definition, an unsettled matter which is ready for a decision. This is something that Corneliusen is using in his book, the other one. But when we talk about issues, we mean some topics that people are discussing and how they relate to the organizations. And what's then a crisis? I will go this already now because issues and a crisis are very much related to each other. So crisis in an organizational context is a critical and intense issue that threatens the very existence of an organization in terms of its basic assumptions, values, and ways of operating. So it's something that the organization need to act with. So it needs to do something if the issue is on the crisis stage. And Corneliusen, for example, has said that issue is a topic that requires decisive and immediate action from the organization. So it's something that the pressure increases and then the organization needs to act. So that's the difference. Issue can be, it can be, I hope I have here. So issue can be topic that's discussed at the moment. So for example, environmental topics are very much discussed at the moment. Or then it can be related to the political or geographical or social. So it can be basically issues can come from different sources. Just topics that we are currently discussing as people in our societies. And why organizations should be aware of issues is that issues have the potential to grow in the crisis. And for example, some issues that we are currently discussing in our societies are in a latent phase. So there is a lot of discussion, but still there are controversial opinions, but there is kind of balance. So people are listening to discussion, people are participating to the discussion, but it really does not require that organizations take part to the discussion. But they can. And I will tell you a little bit more about that later on. Then some issues activate. So some things happen in a society. For example, in environmental, so when new results, scientific results, for example, are published, or when there is new knowledge about something, issues, for example, related to environmental topics can activate. So discussion at that stage increases, and then also on the vertical line there, the pressure for the organizations to be part of that discussion and tell what they are doing related to that specific topic increases. In an intensified phase, it's really a must that the corporation or organization take part to the discussion, and in the crisis situation, it's kind of already a little bit too late. So that's how the issues develop in the crisis. So not all issues develop to the crisis, but some of them do. So how organizations can manage issues? I have put it like this because it's really not possible. Organizations can take part to the discussion. They can scan, they can plan. But it's not really possible to manage the issues. And here are some of the kind of elements of the process, how organizations do this issues management. It's often not that kind of visible part. It's done in different organizational parts. In some organizations, in the bigger ones, they have a risk management department, which works with communications team as well. In smaller companies, it might be part of what communications people do, but it's definitely something that the top management is really interested in, because this kind of is very much related to where the company can be competitive and where are the threats. But how this process overall works in companies, even though it might happen in different parts of the organization. So first of all, environmental scanning. So organizations need to be aware of topics that develop around it. And they can be all kinds of topics. I will show you very soon. Then issue identification and analysis. So how that specific issue actually can affect organization. What organization can do with those specific issues, so issue-specific response strategies can be created, and then evaluation. So it's a continuous process and happens in different parts of organizations. And it's like we have been talking here a lot about communications planning. So this issue management, maybe I should say this, but this issue management is very much linked to the communications planning process. So it's not something separate. In some bigger corporations, there is a risk management team, risk management people who are doing this full time. But It's also basis for communications planning and how we plan communications. Because this is all about that we understand the stakeholders, we understand the public opinion, and we also understand what's the company's position and stake in those discussions. We have been discussing here about issue awareness. So those are also awareness that people gather around the issues that they share same interests. And it's very much linked here, because if the organization does have the same interest and it's part of its business, it should be part of that arena as well. And the best way to be there is through its employees. So here are two models that Corneliussen shows that can be used for environmental scanning. So two analytical tools. These are used, at least SWOT analysis is used very much in the management in other processes as well. But this step is something that because there are so many issues. So it's an analytical tool that company lists topics in each of these different elements. So what type of issues there are in demographic, if it looks how the demographics are around organization, economic, social, technological, ecological, and political. And when we have done this mapping, then we do kind of the issue identification and issue analysis, that which issues are kind of more intense, which are in the latent phase, and which are in the active phase. And then also how they kind of, what's their priorities for the organization, organization's success. The other example is SWOT analysis. I think most of you might be already familiar with this. But the first kind of the top level strengths and weaknesses, they kind of look at the company itself. So they look inside the company. So where are its strengths and where are its weaknesses? And then opportunities and traits. Looking outside the environment that the organization is working. But these two models are mentioned also in your book, but I think it's a nice example of showing how it's done, even though it's done part of communications planning or risk management processes. But really good tool also to learn about stakeholders. Identification and analysis part is then learning that what the stakeholders are really saying about that specific topic and what's the position. So what's the organization position in that specific issue? And then also what are the priorities and which issue is maybe potential to become intense or active than other. So some questions that organizations can ask from themselves, so how likely it is to trigger government action or impact on public opinion, the likelihood of the issue continuing, is it something that will be there for a few months when something is launched or something known, or is it potentially going to last and intensify? The ability of the organization to influence its resolution. And what are the key stakeholder groups and publics that are involved with the issues? And this, the last one, goes very close to the communications planning part. This is the issue life cycle. So how different topics, they all do have a life cycle. It's not something that it will end and then it will stop. But it's often like a cycle, so they will come up every now and then. But what's maybe the key message with this life cycle view is that the earlier the company organization identifies those issues that are relevant to it and then takes part to the discussion, the better chances it has to be successful. The emergence phase here means that and this is only one model to look at it, but this is related, or this is the Corneliusen's model. But the emergence phase is something that when the discussion starts, so when people activate. In the debate phase, there is a lot of discussion ongoing, and on those two phases, it's still possible to change opinions with good facts, with good rhetorical skills. With good discussion, people are still considering that, what should I think? People are learning. Codification means that there is a phase that there is already kind of public opinion. That public opinion is that this is good or this is bad. And after that, enforcement means, for example, that governments are setting regulations. And in codification and enforcement phase, it's already really difficult to change opinions. Even though with good facts, good information, good rhetorical skills, good communication, it might be even impossible. So that's why when organizations work in different issue awareness, it's really important to identify those issues. And like Matthias mentioned about the measuring tools and monitoring tools, those are really crucial at this point, because there is so much information, there is so much noise. And I will have here a few cases about the crisis comms that often the crises emerge because issues that are kind of potential crises are not identified early enough. And it's not anymore possible to change the public opinion. Here are some issue-specific response strategies. This is the way that organizations can react. There are many more, but these three are kind of showing the different angles to look at the issue. So buffering strategy. So attempt to stonewall the issue and delay its development. So something that organization is not that active, but still kind of does not participate to discussion and show that this is really, really important thing. Bridging strategy means something that the organization is kind of listens very carefully and adapts its own operations. So then also, and also shows what it is doing for that specific issue. So for example, if there would be a lot of discussion about the, let's take for example some nowadays every single company is decreasing emissions and working for sustainable products. So it's maybe something, and it has been seen in for example corporate social responsibility reports. So organizations really show what they are doing for that specific topic. And advocacy strategy is then really active strategy. So even though the issues might not be that active in public debate, but organizations really want to be thought leaders in that area, and they want to, in a way, contribute to the public opinion. So these are the three different strategies identified. We can see all of them in use. Often it's part of communications, overall communication strategy again, when we define. So I must say that I have been working in a communications for 15 years, and we have always have kind of like a content strategy, and then we have had, in a way, we have had issue follow-up and issue strategy, but it's all linked to the overall communication plan, so that the messaging is consistent. So maybe the point here that it's part of the communication plan at this stage in most companies. Influencing public policy we will skip, because this is the part that we really would like to concentrate. So issue management forms a kind of baseline foundation for crisis management and crisis communication. And why this is so important is that in today's world, in communication landscape, potential crises are everywhere. So I think what, for example, Marita Voss is using these turbulent times and turbulent environment that organizations and each individual, each of us is working as well. So whatever organizations say or whatever they do can be perceived from different angles and can cause a positive crisis. And crisis communication is one of the key things. And maybe I would link this to the first lectures that we have. Many of you hopefully remember what I showed about Warren Buffett and what he has been saying about reputation and why reputation is so important, is that building a reputation takes many years. Sometimes it takes many decades. But you can destroy reputation very easily in current media landscape. And crisis communication is also kind of balancing the stakeholder opinions. And with crisis communication, you can destroy the company's reputation or you can strengthen it. And the best cases are that if you deal with the crisis very well, your reputation can actually become even more positive. And we have plenty of those cases that there has been something unintentional happening, which has been not perceived that well by the customers, but then with very good communication, transparent, honest, creating credibility, the situation has been turning positive for the company. So crisis communication is really important part of reputation management. Sometimes I think we hear still talking about reputation protection, and that's basically what it is as well. Then we will discuss about the principles, and then I will have few cases, and we will have few videos. Let's hope I will speed up a little bit, so we hopefully will have time to look at those cases as well. But these are some of the definitions that are used related to the crisis communications, especially crisis management here. So crisis management goal is to prevent issues, accidents, and emergencies to become a crisis. So issue, like we learned, is the unsettled matter. So it's something that people, yes, it can be contradictory. We do have different motives. We see that people do have contradictory, but the discussion debate is ongoing and it's constructive. Accidents, that's something unexpected. And often accidents, we all know them, cause damage or injury. Unintentional. And what's the difference between accident and emergency? So emergency can be something, it's also unexpected. But it's something, for example, that inside the company, there is something. For example, I will discuss about the Volkswagen case here. So, for example, that the company found out that, yes, they have been cheating the emission in the emission tests and created reputational crisis. And crisis is then a situation that company activity is required. The pressure will come so intense that it's really important to act. And also maybe summarize, Matias discussed earlier about this legitimacy. So what we mean with that and what the literature means with that is it's meaning company's license to operate. So people really believe that it's companies are operating according to the norms, societal norms and values that society around it expects. And with crisis, that license to operate is questioned. And that's why good reputation plays a really important role. So maybe I here highlighted three principles, but the most important is definitely that reputations can be strengthened or destroyed with crisis communication. And in today's landscape, if organizations do not feel kind of the news hole, if they don't, there is something happening, and if the organizations do not communicate, someone else will definitely communicate. And faster organizations react to the crisis, the better the results. I will have here some examples about that. So what's then crisis communication? That was maybe more about the crisis management, the first definition part, but it's really related to the stakeholders' opinions. And it's maintaining stability. So according to Dalling and Ollikainen and Nurmi, so it's organization's interaction, communication, to maintain stability of stakeholder relations in crisis or conflicts. So it's communicating, having a dialogue, telling what's ongoing, and in that way creating trust, even though something bad has been happening. Yeah. So in many cases, I think what we have been seeing and what we see in the media, you hear about the crisis, and then when you look at the news half a day later, you see that, oh, goodness, it has been intensifying. There is something ongoing, and it's going viral, and people are talking and talking more about that. What are the main reasons why crises intensify in today's landscape? And maybe this is not that nicely put, but management blindness to issues or public opinions. And that's why we started with issues management, because it's really important that issues are monitored, followed, and that needs to be a constant activity, part of the communication planning. And of course, there are some cases, there are some personal values maybe that the management thinks that, yes, this is not important for us. This is something that the small group there is just discussing. It's not important. But in today's media landscape, it's really important to value topics and see through, even though small initiatives, that what can happen. Then maybe the other topic is really the failure to engage with media and allowing others to control the issue. So that relates to that news hole. So if the organization is not, if it says, we are not commenting at these states, even, of course, often crisis happens so fast. I will show you here an example very, very soon about that. There is no information. Organizations, when someone calls the communications person, the person haven't heard about the whole thing. And that's often the case nowadays. But still, you can show that you care and you start to investigate, start to study. Often companies have kind of holding statements ready for different kind of things. But it's really important to take every single call seriously and show commitment to investigate it further. And then failure to demonstrate control, concern, and credibility. I would say that in most of the cases that have been, for example, during this year, there has been kind of a, there has been the initial kind of a comment, for example, from CEO, there has been not that good wording. So words in the first stage matter a lot. So for example, in a Volkswagen case, the CEO's first Twitter message, for example, So it really, really matters how it's said, because people don't have much information, and one sentence can mean a thousand things at that time. So really important. McNamara is a scholar who has been studying a lot about organizational listening, and currently, we have been living through an era that organizations have been really eager to tell what they are doing, but they have been not that good in listening. And I think nowadays companies, corporations have been kind of waking up that yes, we need to listen and we need to have good processes and good tools for that. And that's why the issues management is something that it's discussed much more in today's literature. So when crises happen, what should be? No, I'm missing this. Oh, here it is. So maybe this is something that I was supposed to show you. So what's different in a crisis communication in the era of social media? So previously, even though there was not always, it could be so that the media calls to the communication person and then tells them that what has been happening and then we start to react. But nowadays the situation is even kind of more difficult because employees can be there when something is happening. And this is actually example of a sign that was supposed to be in the public building in US. And there they say that in case of fire, exit building before tweeting about it. And this is the case that employees and their kind of extended communication role, extended power to communicate is becoming also really important. So when we react or when organizations react to crises, at the same time there needs to be an understanding that there might be already a lot of images, a lot of information out there. And we have had those recent cases, but not only employees, but the public in general. So when the crisis happens, it's important to fill the immediate news hole. So even though with little facts, it's really important to be active. Collect and analyze facts as soon as possible. So often in companies, there is quite defined crisis management processes nowadays, especially in the bigger companies, but it's also very much recommended to the smaller companies. So how to collect the facts, who should be aware, and so on. And then also assess newsworthiness and other news sources who are writing about this thing. So what's company's position? How should it form its messages? And then develop strategy messages and communicate them. So often this part it can be trained. So also when we discuss about the crisis management, there is kind of a term for organizations, crisis resilience, and that means that how resilient the organization is in the moment of crisis. And that can be practiced, that can be trained. And for example, crisis simulations are really nice trainings. I have been participating few and then also organizing a few of them, and it's really nice to train, because when you are asked questions with you don't have any information, those are the moments that really the skills and practice helps. And often there might be then own emotions involved in the and making the communication even more difficult. But it's important to understand the basic principles and dynamics, how the public opinion is formed. And even though communications person or other company representative would not know anything, they could still say that we are not aware, but always being honest, but then at the same time showing concern and taking it seriously. And then also showing commitment, because that's the way how organizations get credibility. That we will take appropriate actions. We will investigate. We will come back to you in 5 minutes. We will come back to you in 10 minutes. At the same time, things happen very fast. So in 10 minutes, if you think about what can happen in Twitter, so I don't know if you, for example, have been following any crisis situations in Twitter globally, things happen very fast. So in 5 minutes, there's quite a lot of content already if there are a lot of people in place. Few cases, so I hope I have time to discuss these through, but this is the case Volkswagen. I tried to collect here a few cases that would be familiar to most of you, so I think this is something that has been discussed very much in media. And maybe just going through quickly what happened. So in 2015, Volkswagen Group was claimed to use these cheating devices in their cars, and actually the emissions were 40 times higher than in those tests, which is huge increase. And what made the thing even worse was that Volkswagen had been nominated for a corporate social responsibility award, and it has labeled its cars as a green diesel. So in this case, in big companies, it's really important that the whole company works towards the same direction. There was a huge discussion in Twitter. It started to have this hashtag Dieselgate. You still can follow Dieselgate. Actually, there is one tweet where Volkswagen financial results revealed how much money actually this whole process has been costing to them, and how many Volkswagen Golfs could be actually produced with that price. But it also caused that the CEO was resigning after a few days. Moody downgraded its credit ratings. And in the end of 2016, Volkswagen expects to have fixed all 11 million vehicles involved in the scandal. And really, these are the worst kind of reputation crisis. So something has been happening inside the organization that's not accepted. And but what was good? How it worked? So they actually were really active. Already there is a video link here to the first video apology that the Martin Winterkorn was publishing online. They admitted it, so that made a big difference. And if you look at their stock price at the moment compared to the how low it went, it has been kind of stabilizing, even though this huge crisis situation. And some analysts have been suggesting that the strong reputation that Volkswagen had before this event has been protecting it. How many of you are driving Volkswagen? Have you? Yeah.
Yes, still. I received a letter from the car.
Yeah. And that's something that I think, I don't know the recent figures in Finland, but of course the sales has dropped, but not that dramatically. So even though this type of crisis, their strong reputation before the crisis has helped them, but also their good communications efforts. So they created this type of portal, this Diesel Info. They also created goodwill packages that those affected customers and cars. So there has been huge amount of things that they have been also doing. But in this case, again, like what we could see, the CEO's first tweets, the first comments, they were analyzed very carefully. And but then when they were admitting, when they were studying it, providing information constantly, was able to stabilize the situation. But it's a huge case and really interesting reading. I do have a link to the video here, so if you are interested, it's in the material package for your view later on.
But this case has also side effects.
Yeah.
If you think about it, there is a movement against diesel power in Europe.
Yeah.
So this was like a fuel for those activists.
Exactly. And it was interesting that actually in just before this, in the previous car show, the CEO were already then promoting the hybrid cars. So there has been discussion that was there some rumors or knowledge already before the EPA investigation, because then they were already promoting. But yes, side effects are huge, and those can be still seen. And I think we will see them for a longer period of time. But one of the cases, but then employees' role. This is really disgusting picture here, but I think it shows the case. So Domino's Pizza is the second biggest pizza service providers in US. And this shows the power of social media. So two of their employees in North Carolina branch, they were doing a video which they filmed, and they did all kind of disgusting things in the video, and they actually published it. So it went viral. And here we have the video, and then also behind that link you will find the CEO's response. But what I would like to show about this, because this is a really good example, and this was actually the first kind of big social media viral crisis, or one of the biggest organizations that actually experienced this, and they also responded in social media. So there wasn't any good best practices that they could follow, but they also did it quite well. So in April 12th, the video was posted to YouTube, and a few days later, on April 15th, it was viewed by 1 million people. The employees stated that it was not for real. It was something they did for fun. It was not, they didn't send the packages anywhere. But the CEO responded that they anyhow will take it really seriously. And also, maybe here are some learnings and some kind of to help to understand the case, was that why the monitoring is so important is that the company didn't hear about this through its own employees or through its monitoring system. Their monitoring systems were not in place. They didn't have a good monitoring system. So there was a blogger who informed their communications people that, you know what, there is this video available and it's going viral. First of all, their marketing and communications person said that, no, we are not going to say anything about this because otherwise it will just increase attention to the topic. But then in April 15, they were forced to do it because the pressure became so big and they weren't able to control that anymore. And people were saying that they will never buy anything from Domino's Pizza and so on. But it was one of the first companies, they recorded a video of their CEO apologizing, saying that they will take it very seriously. And already they had the press conference during the same day, and the video was viewed by 300,000 people before even the press conference. So they really showed the power of response and kind of participating to the same media that actually it has all started. But it's a really interesting case. Shows the power, and it was also it was. I think it's if you have time, we don't have now time to look at the comment from the CEO, because it's also it's kind of based on the franchising business idea. So they were really kind of a, also there was a lot of kind of people's businesses at stake here, because a lot of private people running their own business under the franchising brand. I think they had like 50,000 over employees there, so it's really a huge company. But still, the business is running, but it's really a good example of employees' power to state their opinion, and I think those two employees didn't realize that how viral it could go. But this is the world that we are living. Okay, exactly 5:30. Good. Some cases here. Take a look at those videos and issues management crisis communication, not maybe the best possible thing to end here, but it really shows the importance and the power that communications can have on corporate reputation.
So do you have any questions at this point related to course, any general issues about the exam, bonus exercises, anything? If you have any, you can also, you know, send an email to us or come after the lecture. We will now set the stage for the Imago RY, the student organization of corporate communication, and they will tell you something about their, well, basically about you, what you guys do in Imago. So we will change the language to Finnish now, so those of you who don't want to hear the Finnish talk can leave.